The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme. It is The Friday Report. It's 10 minutes after one, and I am joined by a studio full of people today. Not just a three-person panel, a four-person panel. Joining me on the show, Martin Goodall, who's the chairman of the Island Games team. David Hales is here, director of Newport FC. Kevin Shepherd, former Island Speedway team manager. And Damon Larter from the White Link Raiders, all on hand to talk Island sport, the future, where it's going, where we're at now. And are you involved enough in Island sport? Do you feel like there are enough ways in to get involved in sport on the Isle of Wight? As always, we would love to hear your comments. You can call the studio 822002 today. You could tweet us. We are at iWhite Radio, and text us IW a space and your message. Send it into 81222 and I can put your comments and your questions to the panel. Plus, you'll find it on Facebook as well. Head to the Isle of Wight Radio Facebook page and leave your comment there before 2 o'clock, and we will try and get them in. When we come back, we will speak to our studio full of people about Island sports.
This is The Friday Report. The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon then. So, a sports special on Isle of Wight Radio's Friday Report today. A very good afternoon, gentlemen. We've got Martin, David, Kevin and Damon here. Good afternoon to you all.
Hiya.
So I think we'll start. There are so many issues here. I can almost play it out now. There are going to be too many to talk about in the next 40 minutes or so. But I think I want to start today, but just getting an idea of where each of you are in your respective sporting areas. A lot of you particularly embattled at the moment. I mean, does anyone particularly want to start here and just sort of tell us where we are in the state of play?
Okay,
I'll take that as a yes from David there.
Newport Football Club is a great little club. We're in the Sydenham's Wessex League Premier Division. We're in the top 10. We're doing well. But I can speak for probably the other football clubs as well on the island, is that we need crowds. We need the community to support us. And that's very important to the financial sustainability of the football club.
And the challenge you have in your particular field is obviously the future of the club's grounds itself.
Yeah.
There are the plans to put Asda on the site. There have been plans put up by the owners of the actual building to go up against the Asda plans. Mm-hmm. But it looks like Asda plans are moving forward, although we still are awaiting ETA and so on that. Mm-hmm. Which presumably leaves you in a very sort of... does it feel like a precarious position for you, or do you just sort of put that to the back of your mind and it's business as usual?
Yeah, we have to live each day like we're just going to be staying there, but the likelihood is that we will be moving. As far as I'm aware, as you mentioned, Asda's going ahead next door to where the football club is. Our current landlords are South Coast Leisure. We're sort of sat on their land, if you like, and they've been very good. They've been very supportive. They've been good landlords. But they're obviously a business, and they would probably, come time when they want to develop the land. So yeah, it's highly likely that Newport Football Club will be moving somewhere in the near future.
And do you find that's playing out among your fans? Do you hear those concerns among the fans of Newport FC? Are they voting with their feet? Are they carrying on turning up regardless?
I think the uncertainty is there. You can feel that amongst people. But I think there's also an air of excitement. I think we're sort of getting to a point now where we're ready to move. Realistically, the facilities that we have at the club are probably a little bit too big for the football club itself. So if we do move, we'll be looking at perhaps something a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact, but still in the heart of the community and something that the community can be involved in as well.
I'm going to come to Damon in a minute, but do you have the problems that, for example, the White Link Raiders have, where you have this situation that if you get too far up in the process, then you suddenly need to start looking at a bigger ground and different facilities and so on that the White Link Raiders have previously faced?
It's certainly going to be more expensive if we move up a league, if we get promoted into the Southern League, which is sort of what we would like to see, but the structure has to be in place first financially, because you've got to think about paying players and maybe attracting other players from the mainland. But yeah, that you can't move too fast. You have to take it gradually, step by step, and that's something that we're looking to build on in the future.
And it, I mean, you mentioned there that you were looking at maybe, downsizing, not in a location sense, but I mean, if you were looking at a smaller ground really to replace the one you've got longer term, does that then, just stop you from then moving up the leagues?
No, not at all. No. For those that have been to St George's Park will know that we've got fantastic facilities there. I mean, I've been to every Wessex Premier League ground. Nobody's got a car park the size of Newport Football Club. We've got upstairs, downstairs, bars, kitchens. It's a little bit probably too big for us. The running costs are quite expensive. So we would look to manage that in the future with something just as good, if not better, but more compact and more, financially manageable for us.
All right. Damien, can I bring you in here then? The Whitelink Raiders facing a very precarious situation at the moment. And as yet, lots and lots of support to keep the arena. But, in terms of what's going to happen with you guys, do you know what happens after next Friday?
As far as I'm aware, we've got to finish our season, which we've got an away game this Sunday and two home games the following weekend. And as far as I'm aware, that will be the last games played in the building, unless obviously the takeover can happen, really. So from what I've heard, we might be finishing our season in Basingstoke. But it's one of them things. Is the ice time going to be available up there? Obviously, they've got their junior teams, their main team as well, in the same position as us in the playoffs. So it's, sort of a bit up in the air, really.
I mean, that must, when you are there and you're trying to go out on the ice and you're trying to win a game, I can't even begin to imagine how that must affect you psychologically when you're going out there trying to win and you've got that in the back of your mind.
I think so, because we've got quite a few island-based players and a few that are sort of are born and bred like myself on the island and developed with that club. A lot have been brought in just this year to play with our team, but I think everyone shares the same heart. Want the best for the club and obviously, all of the history, the last 20-something years could be stopped. And if the rink closes, I can't see it opening again. They'll develop the site, and to build a whole new rink is just going to be far too much money. Are people going to want to sort of shell out for that, really?
And again, a similar question to you that I posed to David there. How are the fans taking that? Are you seeing that people are... Obviously, there's this massive campaign to save the Ryde Arena and people are coming out in their droves for that. But in terms of them turning up to the game and stuff, are you seeing that playing out over the last couple of weeks?
The support has been amazing. Obviously, over 10,000 people have signed the petition. A lot of them are mainland-based as well, that have visited, have come over with family and friends, have moved from the island. The fans that sort of regularly come watch us, I think, have slightly increased because they know it could be the last, so they want to sort of get the last few games in to watch. And there's a rally this weekend, I believe, on Sunday to help raise awareness, raise money. And there is now... there was a change.org petition done and now there'll be a Just Giving page done to help raise money. I think they need £30,000 to help with the takeover. So I think that's all sort of in progression now.
I've got a feeling that rally's on Saturday, but I will we'll double check that. We'll have it on the news. In terms of Speedway, Kevin, I don't mean this to sound one big downer, but I mean, this is partly why we needed to do this programme, I think. Kevin, when last we heard from you, it was a couple of years ago, and the Speedway team were doing very well, as they had done many, many years running. And then suddenly we were in this position where it just wasn't viable to run a season, and we haven't heard from you since. Now, I know you mentioned in December that there was a will to get back onto the track this season, and that hasn't happened. Again, just tell me where you are with Speedway currently.
You're right, Lucy, to be honest. We probably had one of our most successful seasons in the last year, but unfortunately, like everybody finds on the island, that with success comes bigger bills. And, we have a hard core of support, or we had a hard core of support down at Smallbrook, and it's trying to get those who you talk to and they say, I used to go to Speedway. I went to Speedway here, there and everywhere else. And for some reason, when you say to them, why don't you come? nobody's really got an answer to it. You know, we realise money's been tight and everything else. The admission prices weren't put up for about 4 years, to be honest, to try and entice people. We brought the start time forward to 7 o'clock, trying to attract more families, so it was finished earlier. All of which, to be honest, some had slight success, others didn't. But there has been a group behind the scenes working to try and get Speedway back. We did aim to get it back for this year. Unfortunately, we didn't have everything in place. It's an expensive sport, to be fair. We have to get, for an average meeting, we have to get roughly about 25 vehicles over to the island, including officials, 7 riders from each team, plus managers. We were very fortunate. We had an excellent sponsorship deal, to be fair, to the ferry companies. And so now we've got to encourage that. Also, we have to get an air fence, which will cost in the region about £20,000. So,
what's an air fence?
But basically, what Speedway has done now is, rather than having the hard sort of perimeter fence that Speedway's always had, it's like an inflatable air balloon, if you like, in front of the fence. So when riders hit it, it sort of takes the impact out of them. So it doesn't curtail the injuries, but it reduces the serious injuries that have been suffered in the sport. But it's a mandatory thing that every single track in the country has to have. So obviously, you don't look at it and think, well, yeah, we can get it going for next year, having paid out all the money for this air fence, and then the year after you can't run because you haven't got it. So although the group behind the scenes are working effortlessly to try and get it back, it's got to be sustainable. And although we got very good crowds in the summer, it's outside of that. The season starts in sort of April, goes through to October, and it's outside of the sort of school holiday periods, really, the crowds that we need to sort of pay. I mean, to start the season off, you have to pay, like everybody else, your fees up front and everything. And we also pay the riders home and away for all the costs we incur. So, you know, but, we are aiming at the moment still to try, and the focus is for next season to be back on track. But obviously, like everything else, when the stadiums or the arena's not being used for Speedway, the cost of the shale will have to be included, because we'll have to get more racing back on. Repairs to the fence, because obviously it's made of wood, and although the air fence, it only covers the bends, so all that will also have to incur on the cost. But we're fighting still. You know, the aim is to get the sport back onto the island, because we're very keen to, but obviously it's got to be viable.
Wow, that sounds like it's a long list, though, of stuff that you need to tick.
Yeah, it is, to be honest. And, again, like the ice rink, you know, there's businessmen behind it who have got the financial side, and there's also helpers, because at the end of the day, like all sports, I'm sure, on the island, find that without the helpers, you haven't got anything, you just can't start it. And, you know, we were very grateful to all sponsors, all, you know, helpers alone, but they don't all pay the bills. You know, it's people coming through the gate we need. And we've had to sort of take a step back, saying, well, what were we doing wrong? Were we doing anything wrong? How can we do it better? And really, what we need from the public side of life is, as well, what do they feel that we weren't doing right? Because at the end of the day, they pay the money to come in, they have their right to say, speak, and, we need their input.
So now's your chance, really. That's what we'd like to hear from you today in all these individual sports. If you want to make your comments and make your points, then do get in touch today on Facebook or on Twitter or on the text. It's IW with space in your message. Send it in to 81222. Martin Goodall, Island Games team, yes. Looking by far and away the most promising and assured in many ways of everyone here at the moment. What's the state of play with you? Again, I'm presuming funding problems is the big issue.
Funding, yeah, is a huge issue in our sport in our sports and in all sports. You know, I'm taking the biggest team we've ever taken to an away Island Games. There's 12 sports going, 230 people going from the Isle of Wight across to Jersey this summer to take part in the NatWest Island Games. Very excited to have a team as large as that across so many sports, particularly after the last games 2 years ago when we went to Bermuda. We're only able to take 5 sports and about 45 people. It's a huge difference because it's closer, but the reason that people didn't go to Bermuda was the cost of that. And the reason that I've had for some people not being able to afford to go to Jersey is the cost of that. You know, you're talking a week away to compete in sport. But this is not just a week's holiday. This is a week at international sport. You're competing against Olympians, against people who have won European and world championships. And this is the only time that we get to compete as the Isle of Wight in a multi-sports event. This is an event similar to the Commonwealth Games. In total, I believe Jersey have said there's going to be around 3,000 athletes there. That actually makes it larger than the Winter Olympics in terms of the number of competitors. So it's a big event. And we're taking a big team team of very dedicated sports people across all those 12 sports, people who are up at 6 o'clock in the morning training, you know, as the swimmers are, late into the evening, cold winter. You know, I was talking to the cyclists the other day. They've been out in the wind and the rain training, cycling around the island. You know, we've got a huge commitment from people who are very talented at their sport, but it costs a lot of money. And it's not just to go to the Island Games. It costs a lot of money for any sporting activity on the island, because every other week, perhaps, you've got to take a team of people across to the mainland to go and travel. And then we'll get some teams crying off coming to the Isle of Wight because they've got to pay one ferry here. And that's frustrating for people. So, yeah, there's a lot of commitment, a lot of effort that goes in. But we really need funding. And not just necessarily for the 12 Island Games sports. For all sport on the island, it can be very, very expensive. And some of the new sports that are coming through, you know, skateboarding I would include as a sport and various other things. It costs a lot of money to compete simply because you've got to stretch your water to get across.
In terms of, you know, funding for you, I mean, just recently there was the story, was it the synchronisation team at a national level had lost all their funding? Swimming seems to be particularly badly hit. And you see these big national headlines where national Olympian teams are being told that there is no more funding. Thanks very much. Off you go. I mean, how frustrating is that for you at a sort of island level to see that and think, wow, we're competing against that kind of funding pressure?
Yeah, I mean, we've contacted Sport England, who control all the funding for the Olympic and the very elite level of sport. But we don't even feature on their radar. But that said, I've got a meeting with them in April, along with the chairman of the Isle of Wight Sports and Recreation Council, when we can discuss what options there are available to them to look at Isle of Wight sport. But no, I think we've struggled to get a major sponsor for the Island Games team. We used to get sponsorship from the Isle of Wight Council, but of course with all the cuts that they've had to make, they cut out. They only used to give us £10,000, which in the grand scheme of their budget wasn't, you know, didn't even, you know, it's not even 1% of whatever they had to cut. But they cut us out of their funding, yet we go internationally every 2 years. We represent the Isle of Wight. There's a lot of islanders in there, and these aren't all seasoned sportsmen who are adults. You know, I've got 14, 15, 16 year olds who are going to be going along to Jersey. You know, I had a message yesterday. There's two young athletes. They're 16 years old. They are good up and coming middle distance runners, but they're having to find nearly £500 each to go to the games, and that money doesn't come easy when you're a 15, 16 year old. And they've set up a just giving type page for asking for donations from the Isle of Wight public. And it's a great show. I feel, you know, this is an opportunity for these young people to compete on an international stage. The Island Games was Kelly Southerton's first experience of international athletics, funnily enough, back in Jersey in 97, the last time the Games were there. And she went on to great things in the Olympics and was inspired because she competed in those Games and there were other international level athletes there, and she said, I want to be that good. And if we can give a little bit of that inspiration to the young people of the Isle of Wight, then what's not to invest in, as far as I'm concerned? You know, Isle of Wight people out there, Isle of Wight businesses, invest in the Isle of Wight future and give young island sportsmen and women an opportunity that they may never get, and we are lucky enough to get, because there's a lot of places who don't get this opportunity.
Have you found yourself butting heads with the Isle of Wight Council over this in terms of their funding commitment to you?
No. I fully appreciate that they have huge budget pressures. It would be nice if they, or Visit Isle of Wight or someone like that, would recognise that we're out there representing the Isle of Wight, advertising the Isle of Wight wherever we go. But I accept as well that there are other things which may be more pressing. To me, we are at the top end of island sport and only covering up to 14 sports every 2 years. There are many, many sports that aren't involved in the Island Games. There are many, many people who won't reach that elite level. And I see that without that up-and-coming level of sport, you don't end up with the elite level. You've got to have the facilities there in place, like the leisure centres, like the athletics tracks, like the speedways and the ice rinks and the football grounds, in order to get people inspired and involved in sport in the first place, and from that you can get an elite coming out who can go and represent the Isle of Wight, or even above and beyond to England and Great Britain, etc.
Do any of you feel like your individual league managers, the people who are running the leagues that you're all part of and playing in, could do more? Do you think that there's maybe more support needed at a sort of strategic level in terms of your own sports?
Well, certainly speaking from Speedway, I mean, our authorities that are based up in rugby, when we sort of talked about not running for a season or anything else, we never had no communication from them whatsoever. It's almost as though they sort of accept the fact that, you know, a track's gone by the side. It's they don't look at the loss of the sport. You know, the fact that it's another area of the country now that's not being served by Speedway. The South Coast has lost a few tracks over the years. And even if they sort of put in, you know, a phone call to you saying, well, look, is there anything we can do to help? They have a very good TV coverage sponsorship deal, to be honest. The lower clubs don't get the TV coverage, but they still have to come under the same rules and regulations as the top flight clubs. So our costs for an air fence are no different to the likes of Paul down the road that you know, are in the elite league, get a lot more money come down from the Sky deal, which we don't get anything out of whatsoever. And you know, it'd be nice if there was some more communicado between them, saying, okay, you're all equal, you're all one of the same. You know, the clubs at our level, like everybody else said, we're bringing on the young riders of tomorrow. They all have to have a starting point, and it gives them, it's now another track they've lost where they can't come and start in the sport. And, you know, if there's not the openings for them, they're easy to lose. You know, that sort of age, 16, 17, they go one way or the other. And if you lose them to sport, you don't tend to get them back from it. You know, and we certainly found that frustrating from the Speedway side point of view, that, you know, there was no sort of help channeled down through the system really to try and assist us.
And Damon and David here, what about in terms of the Raiders and in terms of football? In terms of higher up in the league, could more be done? Could you be getting more of a strategic support there?
It would be nice, yeah. When you look at what the Premier League is, you know, the money that's just coming through there, it's multi-billion pound TV deals, you know, you're talking oodles and oodles of money. You know, it would be really nice if that was filtered down, you know, through to non-league level and down to grassroots level. You know, that would make such a difference. But we have to rely on, you know, a big part of our season is relying on a good FA Cup run, a good run in the FA Vars. If you can get through the preliminary rounds and the qualifying rounds, you know, some good prize money to be had there. But we have to rely on that. And if you can get to maybe the third, fourth, fifth qualifying round in the FA Cup and a good run in the FA Vars, you could be looking at, I don't know, maybe £10,000 worth of prize money, and that would pay our travel for the whole season. So that's very important to us. But as far as funding goes and money coming down through, you know, from top level Premiership football down through the leagues, I'd like to see more of that, definitely.
And Damon, you're in the actual moment right now where the league could be stepping in and saying, I know you play in a couple of different competitions, but someone sort of more strategically could be stepping in and saying, do you know what, we'll help you get up to the next nearest ice rink to help you keep training while this gets sorted out. Have you had anything like that kind of level of support?
Well, with ice hockey, it's quite difficult because we were in the league above. We finished bottom for numerous years, and weren't competitive, and the money that was needed is double what we need now. So for the Raiders, I think we're in a good league. Every game's competitive. At the moment, we're fighting for third place, so we're not by any means the best team in the league, but we have just recently beaten second and first place. So every game's competitive. We don't get any TV coverage other than when there's a devastating story like the, you know, the ice rink shutting, and that's the only time really we featured on any, you know, form of advertising that way. Otherwise, it's the good old back page of the county press and things like that. So I definitely think more could be done, and our fan base is, it's hard to say whether there's new people coming in, but there's a lot of faces that have been down there for the last 20 years that I recognise. So it's the good old fan base really that's keeping us going.
And is there any truth in the rumours of links to Basingstoke for you?
What, as a team?
Mm.
My head coach has played a big stint in Basingstoke. I know he gets on well with the coach and things like that. A lot of our players, like I said earlier, are mainland based, so they either commute Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays for training and games, or there is a house on the island where five of them live. So a lot of them are young, in a position where they're coming along. They could go and play at a higher level if they wanted, if they felt that that was right for them. But a lot of us, like myself, you know, I'm looking to retire next year from ice hockey. People on the island just won't have that opportunity. They're going to lose the right to play. The same with the figure skaters as well. It would just cost too much money for parents to get the boat early in the morning to go and train with work and other commitments. It's just not viable, really.
All right, well, you're listening to the Friday Report. Don't forget, we would love to hear your comments. You can tweet us. We are at iWhite Radio, and you can text us IW a space in your message. Send it into 81222 and you can call 822002. We have heard from every single person in the studio here that it is all about you. It's about you going to see the football, you going to see the ice hockey, and you turning up and seeing these events and watching these events. So what do you think? Why don't you go more often? And how much support can you give to each of these individual supports? It's the Friday Report.
The Friday Report. Getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Friday Report. And joining me in the studio today, Martin Goodall, who's the chairman of the Island Games team, director of Newport FC, David Hales. Kevin Shepherd is here, the former Island Speedway team manager, and Damon Larter, who's club captain at the White Link Raiders. Welcome back, gentlemen. Thanks very much indeed for joining us today. As you can probably gather, we are talking sport. You've all mentioned getting off the island and all having to do that on a regular basis. Do you get enough support from the ferry companies, each of you, do you think? Could more be done there?
Well, I'll go with a positive here. I've just had this week confirmation from Whitelink that they're going to give the team travelling to the NatWest Island Games in Jersey complimentary travel this summer, which is great. It's something they've actually done since the game started, that they've given the team complimentary travel across. In the past, they used to give us additional money as well. But the fact, really, that they're going to save us £5,000 or £6,000 in allowing us to travel across is great. But it's once every 2 years, and it's wonderful that they do that for us. But I know that within the 12 sports that are making up that team, there are still some issues around: are those individual sports going to get assistance? But you know, we're really grateful that Whitelink are giving the team the overall support for that one trip this summer.
And for the rest of you?
Yeah, certainly as far as Speedway goes, to be fair to Whitelink, without their support over the years, Speedway would not have lasted as long on the island as it did. To be, you know, they were excellent sponsors for us. Unfortunately, now it's lapsed. It's obviously harder for us to go back to them to reinvigorate that sponsorship, because we appreciate that there are other people come in, knock the door, and there are a lot of worthy causes on the island who deserve sponsorship, you know. And so it is hard for us to get back in, certainly with the ferry companies. But obviously appreciate from our side that, say, we have to get 25 vehicles over a week probably for a meeting. You know, you times that by the cost, it's a lot of cost to incur unless you can get assistance from the ferry companies. But if not, we have to try and plan to get those spectators through the door, which is the hardest part.
So I was just going to say, do you worry, Kevin? I mean, the fact that you have had to stop, and the fact that you are literally starting from the ground upwards again now in terms of getting people in through the door and arranging those sorts of deals. I mean, how does that sit with you?
It's hard, to be honest, because I'm not a businessman, to be honest. I'm an average Joe public 8-to-5 sort of worker. You know, and going to talk to these is quite alien to me, to be fair. You know, I do take people along who sort of are business orientated, a bit more business orientated than myself. But it's hard, you know. I mean, I appreciate that every sponsor deserves something in return. You know, you don't go to them saying, well, look, we want this off you, but we're not giving you anything in return. But it's hard to sort of know really what to offer them in return. So it is definite. And also, really, whether you're shooting yourself in the foot by the deal you might be offering, or whether in their eyes it's an excellent deal, you know. Until you sort of get that warm feeling off somebody, It is quite a battle, to be honest. And also, at the end of the day, I can't turn around to somebody and say, yes, we're definitely running 2016. It's sort of cat and mouse, if you like. I've got to go to them and say, will you? And then if they will, then I can say, well, so can I, sort of thing. So it is a struggle, without a shadow of a doubt. And also, we're aware that people, once they stop doing something, find something else to do. And we've then got to try and attract those people back through, you know, even the hardcore supporters, back through the gates, when it starts again.
David, Damon, you are both using ferry services every week. You've got matches to play on the mainland. Are you getting enough support in terms of what you're doing?
Wildlink have done an excellent job for us. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we've got 10 players that come over Tuesday and Thursday nights for practice on the Fastcat. We've got a coach load of away fans and players coming over every Saturday night to play us. And we've got a minibus and a transit van that goes away every Sunday. And this is from September, throughout the country. Although I prefer their running times to be a little bit more convenient for us. I think the help and support that we've had from them, we wouldn't, the cost would just be far, far too much money for us otherwise. So, yeah, they've been excellent for us.
Yeah, and for Newport Football Club, of course, Whitelink were our shirt sponsors a couple of seasons ago. A lot of our ferry travel depends on where we're playing. Obviously, if we're, say, playing Porchester, we'd go Whitelink. If we're going the other way, we'd go Red Funnel. Depends on where we're playing. But I don't do the ferry bookings. Our secretary, John Simpkins, does that for us. But I know that there's been cases if, say, a match has been postponed, they've sort of delayed the booking for us and given us, allowed us to travel when the game's been put on again. So, yeah, they have been good for us. A bit like Damon, it's difficult sometimes coming back at night when you're waiting for a midnight ferry. We've all done that. If the match finishes at quarter to 10, or there's extra time or penalties and you have to wait for a midnight ferry, but that's part of living on the island. But yeah, generally they've been okay.
In terms of all of you competing for the same crowd, it's fabulous to live on the Isle of Wight, to have all of you sat here with such a diversity of sport. We haven't even mentioned sailing, of course, and Cowes Week's had its own funding problems and stuff. But again, a massive sport on the Isle of Wight. And there are other things here that aren't touched on. There's rugby, of course. So there's an awful lot of different activities competing for people's time. Is the Isle of Wight too small a catchment area for you all? Is this about maybe, fighting out amongst yourselves and saying, well, look, we can't all be here, we can't all coexist because there's only so many people to come and see us?
I think, to be fair, now that Speedway sort of stopped for a year or so, I'd be very surprised, to be honest, if the others have gained by our misfortune. Like the ice hockey's a winter sport, generally Speedway's a summer sport, and you do get people who tend to go to both. But, they might do. But my personal opinion is I think there's room for us all, because it's such a diversity of sports. The others might feel different, but I'd hope that they haven't really, benefited that much by us sort of not sort of running anymore. But
I'd agree
that I don't think that, I think people will be interested or will find a talent in one particular sport and will find a way of doing that. You say the island, are we too small? There's times when I think we're too big. If you look at the size of the island, the geography of the island, and the ability to travel from one place to another, when I was a kid and growing up, they just built or were just in the process of building the swimming pool out at West Wight. That became the only indoor pool available on the Isle of Wight. There wasn't one in Newport. There wasn't one in Sandown. There wasn't one in Ryde. And so you travelled over to that. Now we've got them in each of the different locations. But you have on the island, you have a great number of football clubs. You have four rugby clubs. You have X number of cricket clubs. And sometimes when I look at the other islands we compete against, we compete against 24 islands and they're much smaller geographically than we are. And so they'll only have one swimming club. They'll only have one running club. They'll only have a couple, maybe a football club. Jersey have only got one rugby club and they do very well. Jersey are in national level leagues. And I sometimes wonder if we were a little bit smaller, would that actually be a benefit to us? Because you wouldn't have some of those problems of getting everybody together. And it is awkward to get everybody together to compete and to train together, simply because the island is just that little bit bigger than some of those other islands we compete against.
St George's Park, I personally would like to see higher attendances. I suppose on average we get 100 to a game on a Saturday, sometimes if it's a bigger club, 150. But I remember growing up going to watch Newport in my teens, and it was normal to have 400 there to a Saturday afternoon game.
And so I where's back, everyone gone? At what point?
Which is interesting, Lucy, because I remember back just a couple of years ago, 2011, when we had the Island Games football final at St George's Park. I think maybe Martin can tell us the numbers, but I think it was about 3,000 there, was it?
I don't know the exact number. There was an awful lot
there. Yeah. So those people are still here. They're still out there. Be interesting to see if anybody wanted to call in today and give us some feedback. You know, is it gate fees too high? Is it perhaps... I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what people's thoughts are on it.
Are we too complacent, do you think, as people that can go and watch sport and aren't necessarily involved in it? It's very easy for me to sit here and go, look, isn't it fabulous? We've got ice hockey and, you know, speedway opportunities, and there's football and this and that and the other, and athletics, and you can go and do it. But you know, am I part of the problem with that complacency that you're all there, so it's going to be fine? Why do I have to go and support it every week?
I think we mentioned TV earlier and the revenues that come in from TV, because you can, if you're a sport supporter, you can go and watch a speedway from the comfort of your own home, or you can see an ice hockey match from the comfort of your own home, football, etc. That we do just get into that. I want to know what's happening. I'll turn the TV on. Live sport is so much more interesting. The buzz and the atmosphere you get from being present at a live game, whether that's a local league football match. You know, I'm probably guilty myself. I've never been to a Raiders match at the ice rink, but from all accounts, the atmosphere is just out of this world. And you get a much better impression of the speed and the ferocity of these games when you actually go and see them live. You know, I suppose, yeah, Isle of Wight public, get out there. There is some great sport that happens here on the Isle of Wight. We've got some incredibly talented people. Get out there and watch it, you know, watch it live, see what's going on in your local community, and maybe that'll inspire you either to take up a sport to just keep fit, or maybe it'll inspire you to think, well, actually, yeah, I've got the ability to invest through my business or my company, so I will invest in these young people and show them that being on the Isle of Wight is a great thing to do, and to represent the Isle of Wight is a great thing to do.
I mean, cards on the table for me. I've been to see the Raiders in action, and I've been to see the Speedway. I've not been to the football, and I've not been to see the athletics in action at any point, you know, down the line. I mean, in terms of you all, have you all been to see each other's sport? Are you sports people, or are you into motorbikes or into ice hockey? How does it work?
Personally, I mean, my son's quite involved with ice hockey, and I've been down a couple of times. But as for other sports, yeah, I like football. But in all honesty, I'm probably as guilty as everybody else. I live right by Cowes Football Ground, and I've never stepped foot in the place, to be fair, unless it's been for an evening out. Yeah, so I'm probably guilty as anybody else, really, in that, yes, I attend my own sport, but not the wider age of sports.
So what's stopping you?
Good question, Lucy. If I knew the answer to you, really, I'd tell you. I don't know. It's probably habit more than anything else. I suppose that my speedway always used to be a Tuesday. And I used to go to that, obviously, every Tuesday night. Or if there was away meetings, I used to travel the islands a length of breadth, you know, right the way to Scotland to support them. But outside of that, that was my sort of thing. That's what I really enjoyed. I enjoyed watching a football match, but like I say, I sit and become an armchair supporter with it. And if I don't like the football match, I just turn it off. Yeah, you know, I think that's probably what it is, to be more than anything else. It's not the fact that, you know, it's local and it appeals to me. It's just routine, really. I've never, ever done it. But
I knew we would run out of time, and we have. Just a final thought. I mean, it's a catch-22, really, then. So without the exposure, you can't get the people in. But with the exposure, you know, why would I bother turning up and sitting in the cold? Because I can see it on the telly anyway. A final thought from each of you before we have to round up.
I would say, as Martin mentioned just now, we've got, yeah, it's a great place to live on the Isle of Wight. We've got some great great sports here, and we would just send a message out to the community and saying, you know, come and support us, come and watch the games, whatever sport it is you're into, you can get a taste of it anywhere here on the island.
David Hale, thanks very much. Damon from the Whitelink Raiders.
From our point of view, obviously, if people could sort of have a little look for the Ride Arena Trust or the Ride Arena Group, and there is, like I say, a donations page to help keep the ice rink going. So from us, it's a case of getting that, find out what happens with that by the 25th of March. So.
And Kevin, when we next speak to you, will you be plans in action to don don
Well, personally, you'll never see me don the leathers, to be honest with you. But I would encourage everybody to support Ireland sports, because as we found, to be honest, once it stops, it is very, very hard to sort of get things going, to get things back. And people have got, like I say, other things to do in life. You know, by all means, get down the rink, support the Raiders, support every sporting activity that's out there on the island, because, you know, these guys put in a lot of time and effort for no money and really deserve the backing to keep the sports on the island going.
And a final thought from Martin Goodall, Island Games.
Definitely support Team Isle of Wight this summer. We'll be at the Jersey Games. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and I hope you'll be able to follow the results coming in through Isle of Wight Radio. But yeah, people of the Isle of Wight, get behind your teams. A lot of the sports are out there now. They're trying to raise the money to help their young people in particular. Like I say, we've got 14, 15, 16 year olds with an opportunity to compete at an international event and be inspired by competing against and alongside Olympians. Get behind your team. We are Team Isle of Wight. We are your representatives. And I really, really hope that we will do well. And who knows, the next Kelly Southerton is just around the corner.
And Damon, just the cold hard facts, your last Whitelink Raiders game at home might be on the...
So next Sunday. Well, okay. We've got two home games next weekend. So not this weekend, next weekend. So yeah, it'd be great to get a lot of people down there and obviously... see how we go.
Well, I wish you just the best of luck. I'm sorry, it's kind of been a bit of a downer today, but I it's important to get everyone in, and I think what we've all agreed is use it or lose it today. Thank you very much indeed to Martin Goodall, David Hales, Kevin Shepherd and Damon Larter for spending the Friday report with us. Tom Stroud on your radio next, and of course we'll update you in the news and sport with how each of the individual teams are going. Good luck in all of your futures, everyone. Thanks very much indeed.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.